This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Detroit was once the fourth most populated American city with the highest paid middle class workers in the world. The gutting of the auto industry in the mid-70s began a downward economic slide and exodus that's emptied out half the population. All right, so we've heard that dreary story. Now, on to the bright side.
There's 44 square miles of vacant land in Detroit. You don't need a title or a deed. Just go up to one of those burned out, bombed out houses that you see when you drive by at 55 miles an hour. You can slow down. You can stop. You can plant a garden. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Musician and urban farmer Tony Spaghetti there, singing about the opportunities for a new Motor City product, food. Urban Roots is a documentary film that follows the urban farming phenomenon in Detroit, where rows of dark soil and fresh vegetables are transforming the blighted landscape. Urban Roots is produced by Tree Media, makers of the celebrated 11th Hour documentary with Leonardo DiCaprio. Matthew Schmidt is executive producer and producer with Layla Connors of Urban Roots. The film was directed by Mark McGinnis. Matthew's on the line with more on a truly grassroots phenomenon that may well become a model for other depressed post-industrial cities. Matthew Schmidt, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Well, thank you for having me.
Urban farming sounds like an oxymoron. What is it that makes Detroit such a prime place for this movement?
Well, Detroit has experienced sort of an exodus for the last 50 years. And we would sum it up as the collapse, I guess, of the auto industry and other industries that supply the auto industry, leaving basically Detroit half empty or even less than half. It's a model city. It's been always looked at negatively as sort of a collapsed city or about to collapse. But it really is also a city where there's a lot of new hope and there's a lot of things that can be done that in other cities cannot be done.
And there's a lot of abandoned lots. I mean, we see several of them, overgrown places throughout the film. And food becomes the connection here. Deeply symbolic. A lot of people chip in, multi-generational, multiracial, some volunteers, some community people, farming to feed the surrounding communities. The big winners here are kids. Now, we hear in the film that 46.6% of children are living below the poverty line. Here's a little bit of illumination of that problem.
We try to teach children where food comes from. It's very, very important to know where food comes from and to know that somebody works mighty hard somewhere. Every time your elbow bend, your mouth fly open and food go in, somebody work real hard to produce that.
And I'm like, well, where does potatoes come from? And they'll say McDonald's. Children go to school in the morning and they'll stop by the gas station, get their breakfast, which is probably pop and a honey bun for breakfast.
So, Matthew, honey buns for breakfast. Detroit is one of those urban places that is described as a food desert. Tell us briefly what that means.
Well, basically, a food desert we describe as, I like to add the word fresh food desert too, because there's always convenience stores where you can pick up a can of soup or something, but how fresh is it? How healthy is it? And how local is the food that you can? But the definition of a food desert is basically that if you have to drive, 2-3 miles to reach a decent grocery store where you can basically go shop and provide staples for your house and home and then basically go home. And in cities like Detroit, most people don't even have cars. So to reach a grocery store, like, you know, we have like five or six Whole Foods just in the neighborhood.
You're in what, L.A.?
In L.A., in Santa Monica. And then we have other stores, you know. It's not available to the people. And so it literally becomes what we consider a food desert. Now, there's a lot of political talk. You know, they say, oh, there's a convenience store and there's a gas station, you can get food. And I think that's what's discussed in the film, but a Twinkie is not considered food. It can hold you over maybe for an hour or two, but it's not something you can build a life on. It's not stuff that we need to create community and things. So I think in sort of a more philosophical way, that's what how I would look at a the definition of a food desert.
Well,
and,
you have,
and Detroit is large. Detroit is a very large.
Yeah, it could fit what a city of San Francisco, Boston, and Manhattan in it. Just a sprawling.
Yeah, that sink in. I know.
A sprawling city. Yeah. So there are several farms that have popped up. Most of them organic farms run on very small scale. D-Town Farm, Brother Nature Produce. Greg Willerer, he runs Brother Nature Produce. He's among those working with kids and also challenging himself to make a living off of what he says an acre of land and trying to make organic produce as affordable as conventional produce. Is that possible? I mean, can these farms be competitive?
Well, that's the big question about local economy. This is the big things about a sustainable community where the individuals do not work for a living in the sense that they go and get a get minimum wage, and then they have to have two or three different jobs and they can't take care of their kids. The idea that Greg Willery so beautifully puts in the film is, can I make a living in the sense that can I raise a family on an acre of farm? And he thinks it's possible. However, what needs to happen, and he's making it happen with all the people in Detroit, is there needs to be people who would like to have his food, who want to, who want to have his basil when it's in season, who want to have broccoli, who want to have the greens or garlic, and use it and pay a, and this is so interesting, and pay a respectful price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, what is that? How does it compare with the garlic from China, which in the movie comes out to be like this ridiculous thing? How can we have garlic from China if we can grow it here, in Detroit? So he really believes with, like, it could be like the pizza owner, which is in the film, he uses their food. And because they buy the food, he brings it over. It's absolutely fresh. I mean, literally cut before it's put on the pizza. And that's interesting. That's an interesting economic model. And I believe it can work.
There's also, we see the Field of Our Dreams delivery service, making money, doing very well, delivering produce to homes. And also, it's run by a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. So turning lives around, not just turning land around.
Exactly.
There was a comment from, I think it's Doug Bennett. He was a skilled tradesman, worked on the assembly lines. Here's his vision of how things have changed for him.
The way I see people work on the line, I don't work half as hard in the dirt. Don't get me wrong. It is hard work, but it's not repetitious and paceful work. It's at your own leisure, your own pace, and you see your work, your profits, your growth, your everything, whereas the truck you build in the plant is out the door in somebody else's hands. You don't know what that product is like when he gets it, whereas people come back and say, yeah, I ate some of your tomatoes and they were great, or your microgreens are the best that I've had, where you get self-satisfaction, not somebody else's.
It is really profound to consider the shift from an industrial model in that city, especially Detroit, built on the industrial model. And in fact, there's a kind of tension to scale up here in the film. We see a little bit, this is Matt Allen of Hance Farms. He has a goal of creating 24/7 year-round production farms.
We're going to have 24/7 growing operations, 12 months out of the year. We're going to have indoor through hoop structures, non-heated greenhouses, if you will, and outdoor as well. And with staggered growing operations, we're going to be able to fill the wholesale and institutional market needs of our community. If I'm the big guy who has the ability to pick, clean, grade, package, and distribute food, okay, the small guy that doesn't have the ability to do the trucks, the packaging, the distribution, he can aggregate, or she can aggregate their product to market with me.
So Matt Allen is offering, a sort of aggregation distribution service. What's at stake here? I mean, a lot of people who work in this economy have been burned once by sort of combining all of their energies in one industry. And there's a sort of mistrust of the government. There's a sort of mistrust of aggregating. What's going on here, Matthew?
I think the bigger picture is that cities are still, cities are corporations, and often and the corporate mindset is just so deeply we're so deeply entrenched in that, in the corporate mindset. And as positive and as good as it is, the question is always what is at stake? Like you said, what is at stake? And if they take those lots and as a corporation, they're answering to shareholders. You know, they're answering to another. They're answering to a different thing than the individual person who has a plot of land and who wants to, you know, raise his family and wants to make a living. Those are two juxtaposed forces, I would say. And I think what the question here is that, you know, the competitive nature of these corporations come in with the money, and then the individuals come in, they, you know, we have to think about how that can be integrated into the city. So the city really has to look out and say, okay, so here's all these vacant lots. What can we do with them? And not wait for a Sam's Club or a Walmart or a Matt Allen to come in and take over large plots of land, but really enable the people that live there to make a living and create a community where they can raise their kids, send the kids to school, and heal. I think the healing is a big part that we start to understand that putting your hands in the earth, putting your hands in the earth is healing. It's a way back to yourself. It's a way back to your family, to your friends, and to your community. And that needs to be encouraged. And those codes need to be put into the city codes. So everybody starts having, you know, getting what they need.
And that's what we see in the film Urban Roots. I want to thank you for joining us, Matthew.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Schmidt, executive producer and co-producer with Lila Connors of Urban Roots. It's a film directed by Mark McGinnis. There are links to urbanrootsaction.com where you can watch a trailer and find a very action-oriented, instructive website. The links are at wordofmouthradio.org. And sales of the DVD, by the way, benefit a farm-to-schools program. Join us at wordofmouthradio.org, and we'll be back with a story of AIDS today when Word of Mouth returns on NHPR.